The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Ehe Dogen, who appears in our ancestral line, which we recite every morning during morning service, as Ehe Koso, is considered to be the father of Soto Zen because he brought the tradition. He was one of those most instrumental in bringing the tradition from China to Japan in the early 1200s. He had a disciple named Koen Edjo, whose name follows his in our ancestral line. And Koen Edjo was very devoted to Dogen from the day that he entered his community. And he acted as his attendant from that time until Dogen's death. And he is responsible for having recorded Dogen's words, writing down his Dharma talks and copying the text that Dogen left behind. And because of him, we have books like the Shobo Genzo and Dogen's extensive record. It can seem as if Edjo lived in Dogen's shadow or lives in Dogen's shadow in our own minds, but he was a great master in his own right, and in fact, followed Dogen as abbot of Eheji, Dogen's temple. And he left behind one piece of writing called Komyozo Zanmai, the Samadhi of the Treasury of Radiant Light. The Samadhi of the Treasury of Radiant Light. And a wonderful modern-day practitioner, Soto Zen priest Shohaku Akamura, has translated a couple pages of this piece, and it can be found in a little book called Shikantaza. And I'm going to read you about a paragraph and a half of what Akamura translated. Edjo writes, "I have some earnest advice for those who sincerely aspire to practice. Do not be pulled by a particular state of mind or by an object. Do not rely upon intellect or wisdom. Do not carry in your hands what you have learned on the seat in the meditation hall. Cast your body and mind into the treasury of radiant light and never look back. Neither seek to be enlightened, nor drive away delusion. Neither hate the arising of thoughts, nor love thoughts and identify with them. Just sit stably and calmly. If you do not continue to think, thoughts will not arise by themselves. Just sit as if you were the boundless, empty sky or a ball of fire. Trust everything to inhalation and exhalation. Even if 84,000 idle thoughts arise, each and every one may become the light of prajna, undiscriminating wisdom, if you do not pay them any attention and simply let them go. Not only in sitting, but in every step you take is the movement of the light. Step after step, no discrimination. From the beginning, this samadhi of the treasury of radiant light is the training hall, which is the ocean of Buddhahood. This is meditation. serene reflection meditation, Zazen, which is the sitting of the Buddha, the practice of the Buddha, which has been faithfully transmitted. Since you are already a child of the Buddha, sit stably in the manner of the Buddha's practice. Practice just sitting in this way. Do not waste your time. This is the practice place of the straightforward mind. This is called the treasury of the radiant light, inconceivable liberation. Now, it takes a bit of chutzpah to add anything to Edjo's words because they really go straight to the point and straight to the heart. And they're wonderfully profound. And I think they can be read over and over again, and we don't reach the bottom of them. Even so, I'm going to try to talk to you about this passage a little bit, highlighting five sentences from it. And the first is the opening sentence, I have some earnest advice for those who sincerely aspire to practice. And I like this sentence because in it I find Edjo's friendship, his friendliness with us, his love and affection for us. He has some earnest advice. He really cares. For those who sincerely aspire to practice, which means that we have to do something too. He's addressing those who really do wish to do this practice, to follow in the Buddha's footsteps and bring his teaching into our lives in a wholehearted way. So he's asking something of us. Later in this same paragraph, he says, cast your body and mind into the treasury of radiant light and never look back. This is probably one of my favorite sentences in the world. And I want to talk for a minute about the word cast. Many of us will be familiar with Dogen's frequent reference to dropping off body and mind. We sit in meditation and we drop off body and mind. And there's a story about Dogen having a kensho and running to his master's quarters and the two of them dancing around, chanting, body and mind are dropped off our body and mind. And this is something we allow to happen as we sit in meditation practice. But Edjo uses this word cast, which is much more forceful in a sense and active than dropping off. And it reminds me of the meaning of the word refuge. Refuge is taken from a Japanese term. The word refuge that we use when we say, I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, is taken from a Japanese term, kyei. Kyei, the first character, means to unreservedly throw yourself into. No holding back, no way out, no safety net, harness, or rope, no exit. Unreservedly throw yourself into. That is the way a parent rescues a child who is in danger. The parent doesn't think about himself or herself. The parent doesn't hesitate for a second. They throw themselves into saving their child. The second character, ae, literally means to rely upon, in the way that a child leaps into a parent's arms, trusting unequivocally, knowing that the parent won't let them down. So this word refuge, I take refuge in the Buddha, means something like, I cast myself unreservedly into the arms of the Buddha and rely upon the Buddha totally. This is what I think Edjo is pointing us to when he uses the word cast. Now, this takes a certain amount of trust. And many of us had difficult parents, difficult family lives, difficult childhoods, and this may not be an apt analogy for us. I don't think this is about trusting another human being. Inevitably, any human being will fail us, not because they're bad, but that's just the nature of samsara and birth and death. And I don't think this is about trusting our own hearts. It's not just a matter of turning within and trusting the still small voice. Because the question inevitably arises as to whether or not that voice is the voice of Buddhahood or the voice of our own greed and delusion. And how do we know the difference? Trust is not really about inside or outside, my own heart or someone else, because these can't be separated from each other. What we are talking about here is trusting the wellspring, with a capital W, that which wells up from the source of the truth, which we could also call the treasury of radiant light. The wellspring, which is the source of all that is, that within and without, which yearns for and recognizes the truth when it brushes up alongside it, like a tuning fork finding a resonant pitch. We recognize the truth when we brush up alongside it because something in us resonates with it, and we know what that is like. This kind of trust is essential for the spiritual life, and the spiritual life can't progress without it. To find it, look for the place within you and within all things where the light of the Buddha shines, which, because of this residence, we all know. And then never look back. Edjo's use of this phrase, never look back, implies wholeheartedness, training wholeheartedly, unreservedly, no holding back, no way out, no safety net, harness, or rope. This kind of wholeheartedness is not about making a great effort in the sense of force or strain. That kind of, I'm going to try really hard and I'll be very successful sort of effort. This kind of wholeheartedness is about not leaving any piece of you behind, bringing all of you with it, with yourselves. Edjo says to cast your body and mind. Body and mind is all of you. Bring it all with you completely and totally. Now, this requires commitment. And my master used to say that commitment is the C word that is more scary than cancer in modern America. Commitment is the fruit of trusting wholeheartedly. And it, too, is a sine qua non of spiritual life. You really can't get anywhere without it. Without it, we constantly undermine ourselves. And this means that there is no way forward, because anything that we do in our training gets lost, because we weaken it when we don't have this wholehearted commitment. So Edjo urges us to never look back. Jump right in and don't give it a second thought. Just keep going forward. There is no equivocating, no doubt. Affirm your choice in training in everything you do, walking, standing, sitting, lying down. Don't whittle away at its foundation by looking for that which is better or brighter or bigger or faster. To cast is an active word, and it implies that we make a choice, and then we actively follow that choice, and this choice becomes our commitment. Make the choice to sit in the treasury of radiant light and make that your commitment. Never look back. Do not doubt. Not doubting doesn't mean blind faith. Asking questions is actually what leads us deeper. And not doubting allows for this kind of investigation that is crucial to our practice. Asking questions which lead us deeper is what faith is. And faith is the key that unlocks trust. Faith is the key that unlocks trust. Without faith that we have Buddha nature, that the radiant light exists within and without, we will never see it. With this faith, we will see it everywhere. In another portion of his work, Edjo writes, the Tathagata once said, "The thing that I had most deeply deluded myself with was my not trusting my spiritual light, but vacillating between self and birth and death whilst dwelling within them." Even the Tathagata had to work with doubt. The Tathagata says, "Will you continually, incessantly pant after that which is already in your own heart?" So what is this treasury of radiant light that is already in our own heart, that we need not doubt and can fully commit ourselves to? The translator writes that it is the Dharma body of the Tathagata, the true mind of self with a capital S, Buddha nature, so-called because the light of wisdom, which breaks the darkness of ignorance and illuminates the reality, is stored here. And, of course, there is this metaphor of light, which brings wisdom and understanding to our training and practice and illuminates the darkness that we so often find ourselves in. The treasury of radiant light is our Buddha-ness, the natural ground of the mind, original nature. We might even be able to say that it is our God-ness. It's the wellspring that I spoke of earlier. It is that within us which recognizes light. Light recognizes that which we most deeply yearn for. It is clear awareness, clear luminosity, which is the natural state of the mind, crystalline and indestructible. It is the natural state of the mind, the bright and radiant light of the truth, the bright and radiant light of the truth, which is the natural state of our minds, known to us through clear awareness, which is itself natural to us. This is something we know from experience, not from the intellect, not from reading, not from collecting information about it, not from going out and studying things, and then we know what we need to know. And we cannot know this mind when we look from the mind of delusion, the mind of doubt, the mind which does not trust, the mind which is not wholehearted. If we leave ourselves an exit, a way out, a safety rope, we cannot see it. And yet, and wonderfully, all things radiate this light. It is wonderful to consider that this light from all things touches all other things. So we are all being beamed by everyone else. The radiance illuminating radiance, so that all is radiating at all times in all places. All shines brilliantly. Edjo writes, "Just sit as if you were the boundless empty sky or a ball of fire." How do you sit as if you were the boundless empty sky? What he is pointing to here is the fact that we are completely vast and empty. We may not always experience ourselves in this way. But this is the reality that anatta, the teaching of no separate self, is pointing to. This is the experience of the spaciousness which allows all things to be as they are. In this vast emptiness, all things can be as they are. This is full emptiness in which all things are contained. An emptiness so huge it can contain everything. This is how it's possible to practice all acceptance, even as we find things some things repugnant. Because this vast emptiness has no need to exclude anything, however painful or difficult. How do we sit as a ball of fire? I was once putting a piece of firewood into the kitchen boiler wood stove, a giant wood stove. Inside the wood stove, the fire was already very, very hot. And I tossed this log in, and before it had even left my hand, a moth flew off the log into this incredible heat. And my instant thought was how to save it, but before I could even move, it burst into flames. And in a split second, the moth had disappeared completely. It had burned up completely. There was nothing left. This burning up completely is again the wisdom of shunyata, or emptiness. As we sit in meditation and let go of what arises, self dissolves and disappears into emptiness. Nagya Arjuna said, "The spiritual wisdom of prajnaparamita, the wisdom of emptiness, is metaphorically like a conflagration so great that we cannot take measure of its boundaries." So the ball of fire and the empty sky are shunyata, the wisdom of prajnaparamita, emptiness. There is absolutely nothing we can hold on to, no safe place, nothing to rely on. If you wish to penetrate the treasury of radiant light, you cannot ask for safety. Penetrating the treasury of radiant light, knowing the deepest truth, that for which your heart most deeply yearns, that for which our hearts most deeply yearn. In order to do this, there must always be this letting go completely. Letting go completely, which doesn't ask for safety and in which we have nothing to rely on. Each time we fix ourselves on something, we let it go. And this is what is meant by that word renunciation, the one that often has negative connotations for me, for us, for me. Renunciation isn't something that just monks do. It's actually the core of Buddhism. It's the fundamental teaching of Buddhism. Because renunciation is casting ourselves into the deep, dark abyss, which is the treasury of radiant light. Casting is like stepping 25 feet back from the edge of the abyss and then running and leaping into it, thinking that it's all darkness and confusion, pain, suffering, and death, and discovering that we're in free fall within the treasury of radiant light. So in the end, we are committing ourselves wholeheartedly to nothing with a capital N. But this commitment, in a typically Zen paradoxical way, opens us to and makes us available to everything. And Edjo says, this is Zazen. This is serene reflection meditation. which is the sitting of the Buddha, the practice of the Buddha. We know this mind when we sit in meditation, as we have been doing for these last few days. Meditation practice itself is the light. Edjo wrote, as I read earlier, sit in meditation and do not be pulled by a particular state of mind or by an object. This is what we do. We're not pulled by a particular state of mind or by any object. Do not rely upon the intellect or wisdom. Do not carry in your hands what you have learned on the seat in the Sangha hall. Don't take anything with you. Don't try to keep anything. Sever the attachments. Cut the strings that bind you. Neither seek to be enlightened nor drive away delusion. The goalless goal of serene reflection meditation. Seek for nothing. Allow things to be as they are. Neither hating the arising of thoughts nor love thoughts, loving thoughts, and identifying with them. Neither aversion nor desire, always letting go. Keeping nothing for ourselves, allowing the self to dissolve and disappear. This is our meditation practice. This is what we've been doing these past few days. And this is the mind which is the treasury of radiant light, the sitting of the Buddha, the practice of the Buddha, which we do ourselves here as we sit in formal meditation and all day long as we go about our daily life. Edjo's last sentence in the portion I read to you is, this is called Komyozo Zanmai, the treasury of radiant light, inconceivable liberation. Renunciation, to let go, is to be free. To let go is to be free. One morning a couple of months ago, I was walking in the Abbey grounds at about 5 in the morning. In the east, the very first blush of light could be seen over the shoulder of Mount Shasta. In the west, a huge full moon was getting very close to the horizon, just about to set. And all of this was seen through the screen of giant pine and fir trees that you're all so familiar with. There are times when the stillness and beauty of nature transport us, transform us, free us. At these moments, it is as if the bottom drops out of self. Emptiness, shunyata, is easy and natural. All the circumstances of our lives, all the moments of our lives, our full moons at dawn, this is called the treasury of radiant light, inconceivable liberation. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.